Welcome to Legacy Heating and Air Game Day, only on the home of Notre Dame football. Sports Radio 960 WSBT and WSBTRadio.com.
Brought to you by the Food Bank of Northern Indiana, Sherwood Tire, Barnaby's of Mishawaka and Granger, Pet Refuge, Centier Bank, Tim Growl State Farm Insurance, Michelob Ultra, OSMC, Imperial Furniture, Lozier, Pella Windows, and Hotel Elkhart.
I'm ready, and Jim's ready. The question is, are you ready? This is indeed the Legacy Heating and Air Game Day Show, celebrating 50 years as the premier guest-oriented Notre Dame pregame show. And today also marks 3 years since we did a last broadcast outside. You know, that thing called COVID and a few other things. We're here located at the center of Eddy Street Commons across from Five Guys.
Do we have to blame people for that, part of that?
I think a little bit.
Okay.
What the heck? Big shoulders? People have big shoulders, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. We're a big thank you to Brian Miller, Bob Henning from WSBT, and from Tegan from Eddy Street Commons and Kite Realty for making this possible. One of the great added benefits of being outside is to tell you it's a beautiful day.
Gorgeous.
Versus last week when I was in a windowless building telling everybody it was cloudy out and it was perfectly sun out.
Right.
My daughter and everything, what are you thinking,
what are you talking about?
That's right. But we are here. Today we're going to be joined by players from the first year Game Day aired its first show in 1972. That would be players John Dampier, Frank Pomerico, and Gary Potempa. We'll also talk with Notre Dame defensive back and kick return specialist Alan Rossum. And former linebacker Tavon Coney is going to stop by. And we hope we might have some surprise guests that'll show up here at Eddy Commons. I'm with Jim Arizari, and I'm Tim Growl. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Tim. What a beautiful, like, did you dial this up?
No.
Did Bob dial this up? Did Brian dial? Who dialed up this day? Because it is perfect.
And they put us across from Five Guys.
Yeah, right? We're getting all the smells coming
Game day.
Beautiful.
Burgers and french fries, you know, early in the morning? What the heck?
You know what? That's not a bad brunch.
Yeah,
it's not a bad brunch.
So what's your thoughts on tonight's game? We don't want to make it 0-3, which was the last time was 2007.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to doing one of these after a win.
Yes, because you do the after game show.
Yeah, I do the post game show, and the first one that I did was the Fiesta Bowl.
Okay.
So
I see a trend going here right now.
There's a trend here, and I don't like it, and I'm well aware of this. Thank you, everybody who blows up my Twitter, by the way. It's your fault, man. It's your fault. But. Yeah, it's I would like to do one of these where Reggie's in a good mood, I'm in a good mood, the team just won. You know, it makes it a lot easier,
right?
Exactly.
You know, later on, we're going to talk some more about that. I want to hear some of the things that Reggie was bringing up and everything. Mm-hmm. But our first guest, he could probably take your spot if you are going to be a jinx to Notre Dame.
I mean.
He can do everything. He can play.
Alan, you
won't
be
back.
Hanging around here for
that's right.
for hours on end.
We got Alan Rossum joining
us. No problem.
All right.
How's the morning going for you?
It's going great, man. I mean, I'm looking forward to a game. A complete game. We've been playing first halves. Now let's come back after halftime with some adjustments if needed be. And then finish the game off.
And you look more refreshed than most gay guests that are here afterwards, because we know there's a little party going on the night before.
Well, that's what I heard. I mean, but I wasn't too much involved last night. Wink, wink. But
you did tell me you got in before most others.
Yeah, I was I was in a little bit after one, so that was good.
That's reasonable.
Yeah,
time.
I mean, if you start around two, I guess that is. That's like a long tailgate.
So, Alan, let's kind of we'll go back to the beginning of your career, but let's start with. So, what's your observation on Notre Dame from watching the first two games?
Well, first of all, I realize that it is a process. It's new coaches, new quarterback, new running back. There's a lot of new involved with it. So there's going to be some taking getting used to. Over time, it's just kind of like a marriage. The newness wears off, and then you kind of start getting into your groove. Then also we need to probably just change the mentality a little bit, because anytime something goes bad, it seems like we kind of sink a little bit. Mm-hmm. But there's ebbs and flows in every game. So we just kind of, once we have something good go for us, then I think we'll be fine. The first way and the best way to have something good go for you is have a win.
There you go. Absolutely.
So once we get this win today, I think we'll be back on track.
Do you think the gloves are off now as far as the coaching staff, you know, between the coaching staff and the players? Did you think maybe the coaching staff is going a little easier on them because they are new?
I don't think they were going easier on them. Let me see, how can I put it? I think, you know what, it probably is a little tougher practices right now.
Yeah.
It's not so much of
especially
a player.
This week. Yeah.
It's not so much of a player coach situation going on right now. The coaches are probably looking at anything possible that is out of alignment and getting on the guys a little tougher. But it's kind of what you need to do, is kind of crack their whip a little bit to get them back into the mentality of going out and destroying teams. And that's the caliber of team that we have. Now, after the Ohio State game, I'm like, oh, man, we're going to be okay.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we come out and lay a major egg against Marshall. Now, give credit to Marshall. They came in here and said, hey, look here, man. Whether we're intimidated or not, we're no longer intimidated. And we're here to play ball. And most of those guys, if not any of them, remember the glory days of Notre Dame. So there is no nostalgia, mystique about the place. When they come in, it's, all I know is that, wow, there's 80,000 fans. There's another 100,000 outside the stadium. This place is pretty cool. Okay, but we still got to play the game.
Right.
You know what I mean? So maybe it was one play I cannot remember during the game, because I was actually in L.A. watching it or listening to it. But that kind of gave them a little bit more confidence than we should have been giving them. And anytime you let a team that is inferior to you, or you play down to their level, you let them stay in the game long enough, their confidence level grows and grows and grows until you, what's up, Tracy? next thing you know, those guys got major confidence. Tracy Graham.
Hey, Tracy.
Extraordinaire. Oh, you're on the phone? Okay, come back for the next segment. I'll be over there.
Again, you never know who's going to come walking
that's
by.
That's right. That's right.
Forbes, he's been on Forbes magazine. He's been all over the place, man. He's real low key. He was a senior when I came in. Bobby Taylor was a junior. They put me under the wing. So.
Nice.
So let me specifically ask you, if you were in there at cornerback today, what would you say to the rest of your team? Because you were a former captain.
Yeah.
Anything in particular?
Can I really say what I would say to the guys?
You know, it is a family show, so.
Unless you
want Jim and I to be off the air and come join you at brunch, keep it clean.
You know what? I mean, the main thing I would say is everyone do their job. I don't play quarterback. I don't play running back. I don't play offensive line. I don't play defensive line linebacker. I'm going to handle my business, but I'm depending on you to handle yours. Give the opposing quarterback no time to make my job easier. But if we happen to give them a lot of time, I'm going to do my job so that you can get to the quarterback. So I think if we just start there, I think we'll be fine. But I was a little different. I was a little different player. I was a little different mentality. I was
like a little
pit bull. I would get up in your face, not necessarily just my teammates, but the opposing number one receiver.
Were you a smack talker?
No.
Heavens no.
I was a smack finisher. But, you know, so my first year starting here, I was a sophomore. I had Sean Wooden on the other side. I was a senior. Brian McGee. Preseason All-American. I had all these seniors and juniors, and I'm a sophomore. But I played left corner, meaning that I lined up against Keyshawn Johnson and Terry Glenn and Jerome Payton. All these guys were first and second round receivers that year. But I was just like, I don't care. You know, and I gave up plays too.
Oh, sure.
But also made plays.
Well,
I think that's what Coach Holtz appreciated more. No matter what, I just let the next play come to me.
Well, and as that position, you have to be short memory, right?
Yes. No memory.
Yeah, you get beat, you can't. The next play comes up. You've got to turn it around.
Yeah, because one of my first games I started was against Ohio State, and they had Eddie George and Bobby. I mean, they were loaded.
Yeah.
And Terry Glenn catches a slant, and I'm expecting safety help.
There's no
man's land.
And no one told me how fast Terry Glenn was, because I'm just like, hey, I'm fast, I got it. And this guy pulled away, and I looked at the safety like, where were you? I mean, it wasn't like I'm blaming you, but like, hey, I was expecting inside help. Mm-hmm. And after that, I said, okay, I'm going out here acting as if I have help, but I don't at the same time.
Sure.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
This is Sports Radio 960 WSBT. We're with former Fighting Irish record holder Alan Rossum. Let's talk about this.
Uh-oh.
9 touchdown returns, 3 interceptions, 3 punt returns, 3 kickoff returns. That was a record at that time. Is that record still stand?
As far as I know, and I see my mom has called you guys and give you some of my stats. She does. Did you know? I'm like, really, mom? Excuse me. But, yeah, man, you know what? All that stuff came about one day. I was at practice, and Coach Holtz comes to me, and he says, hey, can you return punts? I'm just like, is anything like catching a pass? He goes, let me show you.
You didn't do it in high school?
No.
Oh, wow.
Because you were a quarterback in high school, right? Yeah.
I returned my first punt in the game against Air Force. Uh-huh. In the game. I didn't practice or nothing. After I saw Coach Holtz, This was here.
Oh,
and after I saw Coach Holtz catch a punt, I said, I'm good. I'm going back to practice. I figured if he can do it.
Exactly, yeah.
I got it.
If this little old guy can do it, yeah.
Was in a game.
I heard one time he caught a punt in practice and broke his finger.
That wasn't with you. No, but he did have that towel around his neck, so I figured that this guy is 115 pounds, sweat. Yeah. Catch a punt from Hunter to punter. Hunter, send it down. He caught it. I'm like, okay. So my first punt was 25 yards. My next one was a touchdown. And after the game, the answer was like, hey, you put Alan Rossum back there to return punts. He's like, yeah, I just got to teach him how to catch the punts. I mean, I was catching them at the ground because I was looking to see, like, who's going to tackle me. Sure. I had never done it before. Yeah, this is like, wow. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah, is there anybody coming? You know, is there anybody going to hit me immediately? Where am I? Yeah.
So let's ask the same thing we did about defensive back. What do you see as a kick return specialist on punts and kickoffs that we're not doing correctly right now?
You realize you're talking to a guy who never fair caught.
Yeah. All we do is fair catch.
Well, once they told me I had a 2-yard halo around me, like you couldn't tackle me, I was just fearless, man.
Okay.
Never once fair catch.
I mean, yes, I did. My junior year, I had only returned 15 punts, but like I had 2 for touchdowns, something crazy.
Right.
So no, and people were punting on third down, kicking out of bounds. And Coach Holtz would only let me do it 2 times a game. So we're playing against Rutgers. And in order to be an All-American, you have to have a certain number of returns. Mm-hmm. So he says, they're going to sky punt the ball. Alan, you catch it. Do not fair catch because we got to get some returns.
Right.
So my average went from 45 yards to 22.1, and then I got the award. Literally, because Coach Holtz is like, I'm out of here. We're going to get you. We're going to make you an All-American. I'm like,
all right, cool. All right.
Yeah, it worked.
Say you were on the field today with the Jumbotron. I've asked this of other running back and kick returns.
Oh, man.
You're breaking it away. Would you look up there to see who's behind you?
No. Now, I did play around with people sometimes. When I tied the NCAA record against Boston College here, like I unstrapped my chin strap. You know, I was a very confident player.
I
think as a quarterback, you kind of have to be. It's you got to have that ego. Yeah.
Even at receiver, even returning, I was just a real confident person. I tied a NFL record because before they were returning them deep out of the end zone, mm-hmm. I was returning them deep out of the end zone.
All right.
Because I just told the guy, hey, man, meet me at the 50-yard line. That's what I just
I love it.
I was telling the guys, you know. I was real confident. And then sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. But if I don't shoot for the stars, I never land on the moon. So my mentality was, man, I'm just going to go for it. Now, it rubbed some coaches the wrong way because Andy Reid hated it.
Sure.
You know, returning the ball 7 yards and back to the end zone. But my teammates loved it.
I bet.
Because it didn't matter that I'm like, I'm trying to win this game.
Yeah.
And at that time, Donovan McNabb was our quarterback early in my career, his rookie year. And they just loved it. They loved that mentality. So I've always had that mentality.
It's a little bit of a dog mentality there, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, if I was just telling the guys, I would tell them the same thing I told the guys when I was returning. Hey, I'm not fair catching. Mm-hmm. So hold your block this a half a second longer.
Right.
Then another thing I would do, if something didn't go right, we would go back and look at the pictures or the film, and I would be like, hey, next time you come down there, I'll set you up for your block a little better. I'll move him out to the right, but just know I'm going back to the left.
So you're actually on the field waiting for the punt you're directing?
No, not during the play.
Oh, okay.
After the play.
After play, gotcha.
Now, what did trip people out when I really got good at catching punts is that I would never look up at the ball. I would be looking at the guys coming down. Mm-hmm. But I had trained myself in practice. I put so much stress and pressure on myself that I would know exactly where the ball was going to land. So I would get to the spot first. And then, so I'm looking up at the ball, get to the spot, and then I would look down at my blockers. It kind of freaked them out in the beginning.
Sure.
Because it was like, why are you looking at me as the ball's coming?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to visualize that, and that sounds like a freakish ability.
It is. I also used to catch punts with my eyes closed for fun. So, yeah.
Man.
A little bit of a perfectionist.
Wow.
Where did this confidence come from in your family?
I'm the youngest of eight.
Okay.
So, I mean, I would come home from school and have to wrestle people that I didn't even know because my brothers would be like, no, that's my brother right there. He'll race you right now. He'll do whatever. I'm like, wait a minute. I just got home. I don't know this guy. So I had to fight people. I had to do all kinds of stuff. And then being the youngest of eight, man, you know, you kind of get that mentality of it's feast or famine. There's only so much food
there. You better grab that pork chop or chicken or whatever it is before the brothers do.
Yeah, and whatever is cooked, you're going to eat, you know, so – my mentality was a little different. And
brothers,
I didn't grow up.
Brother sister breakdown?
Four brothers, three sisters.
Okay.
And I didn't grow up with a silver spoon in my mouth. So I just grew up hungry. You know, unlike my four daughters who thinks that Uber should be free and.
Well, I mean, that wouldn't be a terrible thing, quite honestly.
No, meaning free that I pay
for.
Oh,
right. Yeah.
Overall,
if that happened, that'd be great. But
yeah,
they've
done this research on this very expensive car they think they deserve as a senior in high school. And I'm just like, no, kid, you're going to drive this same car that everyone is beat up on. But
I have four daughters, too, so
yeah.
I feel your pain, man.
You know. But, you know what? I always looked at it as if I don't do it, nobody else will.
Right.
And I do that in business now. It took me a while to, you know, not necessarily a micromanager, but that, like, hey, if something needs to get done, I'm going to do it.
Okay.
You know, so I never put the onus on anyone else besides myself.
What kind of business are you in?
I do a couple things, man. I just got out of the apartment business, multifamilies, where we developed and owned those. And now I still have my construction company, so we still develop them. But I've kind of moved over to more of subdivision developments. But I started out doing commercial stuff like libraries, water treatment plants, and stuff like that. Did a lot of work with the government. And then for fun, I do capital raises for corporations or companies, small companies.
This is the Legacy Heating and Air Game Day Show on 960 WSBT. We're talking with 1997 team captain Alan Rossum. Alan, what being named a team captain by your peers, what did that mean to you?
Man, that was very, very cool. Not only did you get on the game day program and all of that stuff, but, I mean, look, we're still talking about it, and it was 1997.
Yeah.
You know, so I didn't win a national championship, but I can say I was a team captain at Notre Dame. So, I mean, I don't put a lot of stuff on my LinkedIn or my resume, but that is one thing that goes on there.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So it means a lot.
Yeah. So give you four, take 40. That philosophy still.
I think it goes further than 40.
I heard somebody the other day was on, because they've been out longer. They said 55.
Yeah. I think it's four for the rest of your life, man.
Well, that's
four forever. Because, you know, I'm still meeting people that graduated in the 70s. I was born in the 70s, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I was literally sat at their house yesterday for 2 hours, just hanging out, as if we went to school together. You know what I mean?
Isn't that
great? Yeah, you know, but it started, I think, you know, when Jerome Bettis just graduated officially.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But when I was here, he came back to start that, you know, where he's still playing with the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
But you would have thought that we were recruited together, that we went to school together here, and all of the above. We became great friends then, we're still great friends now.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Tim Brown is probably in his 50s, because I'm in my mid 40s.
Fooled me.
Yeah, but we, I mean, like last night.
Yeah.
Rocket, the same way. I mean, we're like brothers who grew up in the same household.
Mm-hmm.
And those things.
You still got that big beard?
Yes. and everyone thinks I'm Rocket. Let me tell you a quick story. So, a couple years ago, pre-COVID, we're all here on the sideline. Rocket is getting an award. And they're panning with the camera to put on the Jumbotron.
Mm-hmm.
And they have my face on it. And I'm like, no, there's Rocket right next to me.
Yes, no.
I mean.
You think
that beard threw him off.
Yeah. But, okay, and then this summer we're all in New York. We're meeting Coach Freeman. Coach Holtz is there and for a fundraiser. And this guy walks up to me and he says, you know, I used to be a part of the Heisman voting, and I voted for you in 1980. And I just let him finish.
Sure.
And then I got up and I said, hey, sir, come with me real quick. Uh-huh. And I said, hey, this is Rocket. And then I took a picture and I sent it to him.
Yeah, what was the look on his face when he did
no,
that?
No, he was like, oh, my God, Alan, I'm so sorry. You know, I remember your first touchdown against Purdue, you know, that type of thing. But.
You look like you can still play. And I'm not just saying that, but.
You know what? My mind tells me I can, but my body says, hold up.
Down that road.
Now, I still get out and kind of hang out with the kids. I have a youth track club in my spare time. But I only go 10 to 15 yards.
The reason I asked that question about looking at the Jumbotron, I think it was Dexter Williams that said, on a big long run of his, he made a mistake of looking up there and forgot that there's a time delay. So the guys behind him actually were closer than what they were. So anyway, I also was going to ask you, because I think of memories or whatever, are you the player that you don't want to be around when you're watching the game at home?
That is me.
That's you. I do remember. explain that attitude you have.
All right. So
you're talking smack to the TV probably. Right?
Yes, I am sending texts to coaches like during the game. Like, BK, like, what are you doing? Tell those guys. I remember I was at the Clemson game at Clemson. It was pouring down raining.
Yes.
I'm literally texting the coaches. I was texting Autry Denson at the time. Hey, man, tell those guys to take those slippery gloves out. You got to put the leather gloves on. It's uh-huh. raining because the ball is made of leather.
Uh-huh. Right.
Once the ball gets wet, you have to put on leather gloves in order to hold the ball. Experience. But no one returned my text. I get a little bit
probably
into
like 2:30 the following morning. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't like to be on the sideline necessarily. Almost at Florida State in Tallahassee. I'm on a sideline, and the ball was maybe a yard, from me to you, maybe two or three yards away. I almost went out and caught the ball.
Oh, my God.
A little flashback.
I had a flashback, yeah. So while I'm at home, I go in my basement. I have this huge TV and screen, that is. And then my wife says, according to how the game goes, is my mentality and attitude afterwards.
Because nobody can come into that room, if I remember.
What
right?
they do is this. I think they're jinxing the team. Like, oh, my God, we were doing great.
Don't go over and watch a game with Alan
they're
right now.
They're upsetting the feng shui. I gotcha.
Like my wife comes downstairs. Alan, you need anything? Hey, look, you just caused us an interception. Like, what are you doing? Don't talk while the game is up. Wait till commercial. You know, put it on the TV in the kitchen so you know for sure. But, I mean, I've gotten better. Mm-hmm. I kind of realized that I have no effect on the game whatsoever. It took a while. But yeah, that was my mentality. I still like to watch the games by myself, though.
You still do?
Like, to this day.
Now, what will happen today? Are you guys all down on the field today?
I think I'm going to give my pass away because I don't, you know.
Wow.
I don't want to go out and just, like, tap Coach Freeman on the shoulder and be like, hey, look, man.
There's some guys behind us.
Hey, let me get on the phone with Tommy Reese right now. Right. You know, I don't want to have to do that. Yeah. You know, I only said Tommy Reese because that's the only coach I know who's there that I know by first name basis, so I'm not saying anything particular. But, yeah, I just get too – the energy is this. I'm just too close to it. Even pro games. I don't even like to sit in the stands in pro games, so I prefer to sit in someone's suite.
So we played for Atlanta and Philadelphia, main career, whatever. Who are you rooting for if they're playing against each other?
I don't ever root for teams.
Okay.
So I'm doing it. This is crazy. I'm doing a radio show in Atlanta. And they say, you know, you're a huge Falcons fan. I said, no. They said, what? You're not?
Oh, boy.
And I said, no, you know what? I had a great time here. I got a lot of recognition here. All my Pro Bowls and all pro stuff is here. They paid me a lot of money. But I'm a Notre Dame fan. And I said, but let me explain that to you. If you look on each and every one of my cars, and I tried to put it on my wife's car, but she wouldn't let me, there's a Notre Dame decal on it. Notre Dame alumni license plate and stuff on there. I said, when you come into my garage, there's a Notre Dame. Like, I'm a Notre Dame fan. I'm a fanatic. I'm not a fanatic about any other team.
You go in the house, and is it kind of like a museum, just Notre Dame
stuff? No. You don't see anything until you go to the basement.
Okay.
When you go in my house, you wouldn't know that I played football or anything.
Wow, okay.
It's more – my house is an academic house. When you walk in my office, you see both of my degrees, my wife's degree, my stuff from Kellogg and Wharton. That's what you see. Just recently, I just moved all of my MVP trophies up to my office.
Okay.
Because I started doing TV interviews during COVID.
Mm-hmm. Sure, yeah.
And then I was like, well, you know, everyone else kind of got their stuff up. Let me show them a little bit of what I'm about. You know, so.
This looks good on TV. Yeah.
Four of my five MVP trophies are in my office. The fifth one was a Green Bay gave me a Rolex watch.
Wow.
How about your four daughters. Any sports there?
Yeah, so my four daughters, they're all very, very athletic. My wife says they get all the athletic ability from her, but hey, you know.
Did your wife play any
No, sport? There is a phantom photo of her running track back in high school, but no one has been able to find it.
She's been scrubbed from the internet.
Not even my NFL career of doing all this stuff, but high school I was, you know, nationally ranked either number one or two years in a row and all that kind of stuff. I was a two-time All-American here in track and field. But none of that matters because my wife says they – anyway. So, yes, I have a daughter.
Happy life.
Yeah, I have a daughter at Stanford who runs track there. She was just in the world championship trials and the Olympic trials. I have a 19-year-old daughter who's at UCLA. So now they have to compete against each other again, which is awesome. For me, it's one place to go to. My wife hates it because, oh, my God, they got to go against each other. And then my daughter, who I had a daughter here. She was running track here, but she didn't want to run track anymore. So now she's at North Carolina and thriving there, you know. So
you're going to be down there next week?
I was just there 3 weeks ago. I was in L.A. last weekend since I was not here. Mm-hmm. And then I'll be at a Stanford game pretty soon.
But we play North Carolina next week, right?
Yeah, yeah. But my wife has planned a trip, so I can't go.
Again, happy wife, happy life.
Yeah. There you go.
Yep.
There you go.
I'll tell you guys off air where I'm going because I don't want people like scouting my house, you know, in Atlanta.
We're with Alan Rossum, and a couple more questions before you go. So interceptions, kickoff, punt returns, pick up a fumble for a touchdown, whatever. Any one of those more exhilarating than another?
I get asked that often, man. They all were special. All the ones here were really special, actually. And then my last one to break the record was my last collegiate game. Well, no, I played in a bowl game. Was pretty cool too. It was in Hawaii. But I would say the one to tie it was really, really cool. And it was my senior year. We were playing Boston College here, and Coach Davey had kind of removed me from the returns because I was playing a lot of offense. I was playing nickel. I was everywhere. Like, when are you ever going to sit down? I said, on kickoff, on punt, that's the only time, and field goal. You know, that's the only time I sit down. So someone had gotten hurt, and he decides to put me in the game. And I had returned one earlier that game, but I was really done from returning. I wasn't returning punts or anything. And he decides to put me in at the end. Boston College was kind of coming back. It was now a, like, 10-point game or something. And he puts me in the game. So they kick it high and short to, like, the 20, 25-yard line. I run up to get it. And there's a big pile there. As I catch it, I'm, like, literally 5 yards maybe from everybody who's converging. And back then they had wedges so people could, like, jump into it and, you know, drop kick wedges and stuff. And all of a sudden, it's like the Red Sea – parting and opened up, and then I come out, and the even the announcer, it's pretty cool, even the announcer made note of it. He was just like, okay, first of all, this ball's supposed to be kicked away from him. He goes up and gets it. There's a big pile, and then he comes out of nowhere and scores. And then they do a big long spread afterwards, you know, showing all my touchdowns and compared me to Deion Sanders. Nice. It was actually pretty cool. So it was cool for my kids to kind of see that type of stuff. But probably the most exciting one was probably also my senior year. I had Coach Davey didn't let me return. Like I said, was not letting me return. And so we were in Pittsburgh. And the year before, I had returned two punts for a touchdown. But he wasn't letting me return. And someone made note of it. Okay. Maybe some alumni, maybe Coach Holtz called him back. Like, hey, you idiot, put him back there. And so he puts me back there for the opening kickoff. And the guy swips the ball. Hits my knee, pops up in the air. And I finally get it. And I'm running. It was a middle return, which the return I hated the most. And two guys are coming to smack me, and I'm seeing it. And I literally stop. They run into each other. And then I run out to the outside and score a touchdown. And, you know, so I had a little bit more bragging rights for Coach Davey after that. And then he started kind of letting me go back and return some more.
All right.
Was he trying to put a stamp on the program that he wanted to do things differently? That's why you weren't? Because, I mean, that's a no-brainer.
If you ask me, yes. I mean, it's a no-brainer. You know, being an All-American the year before as a junior and, you know, having these crazy return averages You know what I mean? So, and you know, I think I was at like 25% every time I touched the ball, I was scoring a touchdown. Right. It was something crazy. I mean, you had crazy stats back then.
Oh, yeah.
And all the kids loved it. Mm-hmm. You know, they had a cheer for me in the stadium here. So, I don't know, man. I was just a game player.
Right.
I didn't go to the coach and be like, look, I'm demanding to get the ball more. Yeah. Run EP, throw me the ball. Run Paulus, throw me the ball deep. I was never that guy.
Yeah.
I was just like, hey, if all else fails, I'm always open, run. On offense.
And I'm here for you, Brian.
Yeah. And if they have a number one guy over there, like I want him.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I would say. Hey, I want their number one receiver. So.
You got it. Good for you.
That was a little different breed, man. You know, so.
Hey, we got to let you get going over to the Holtz Heroes up rush and everything. So, last thought again. Today's game. What do we got to do to break that 0-2 record?
I mean, I don't think Marshall wouldn't start out so hot, but against Ohio State and, what was it, Oklahoma State, I think it was last year?
Yeah.
We started out pretty hot.
Yeah.
And I think we started out pretty hot because we knew the capabilities of those two teams. Like, hey, if we don't start out pretty – Ohio State will put 50 on us.
You got to get them early. Make them play for
And I think we kind of let our guard down a little bit. But so crazy as it sounds, and I would tell people this all the time, because I've lost to teams who were like 1-15 in the NFL. I'm like, how do you lose that team? It's like, because it's kind of hard to get up for teams every week.
Sure.
But the mentality has to change because right now we're 0-for. We're 0-for-2. And right now we need to put a 50 burger on somebody.
Yeah.
Now, me personally, I just want to win.
Yeah.
We can win by 1 point and I'll be like, okay, that's a start.
Right.
But my mentality in that locker room is that we're scoring 50 and they're not scoring
anything.
Let's run it up, yeah. It's not even a disrespect thing.
Yeah, right.
It's a Notre Dame thing.
Yeah.
And we're Notre Dame and you're Cal. Sorry.
Yeah. So you're going to let your new quarterback just challenge him right away down the field?
No, it's not even about that either. It's about game breakers making plays. There was this game out years ago before NCAA football called Game Breakers.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was
college football. And if you were a game breaker, you were highlighted with a star.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like the thing. So I had bragging rights because I was highlighted with stuff.
Ah,
but
got it.
It's just like, okay, it's the end of the game. Kobe, go win the game. Like Ja Morant said last year.
Yeah.
Last year, he was like, Ja, what was the play that the coach gave you to go? And he says, it was called Ja, go get a bucket. So that's my mentality from high school to college to the pros. I would tell the guys, hey, man, hey, look, have no fear. They got to punt the ball. They got to punt me the ball. And I won a couple games. I won a game when I was playing for the Packers for us to go to the playoffs against Tampa Bay. Against the Packers. I mean, I've won games like that. Hey, look, have no fear. They got to kick me the ball. And the guys start believing that.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, like, hey, man, I believe in this guy. I'm like,
let's
block for him.
Boy, they need you down the locker room today.
Right.
I'll be hopefully in someone's – actually, I do have sweet passes, so I'll be up there cheering from afar.
Because
I can't be too close to the game, man.
Sure.
Yeah. No. Yeah, we don't want to have that flight.
Well, I mean, you may get the flashback, too. Catch the pass all of a sudden.
We don't want to have a Woody Hayes moment.
Yes, I was about to bring that up. You know, but as always, man, thank you guys for the invite.
No, Alan,
it's always a pleasure to see some friendly faces and new faces, and hopefully I'll get over there and bring someone back.
There you go.
Heck, I may come back.
All right. We got room.
Chairs open.
It's just going to be Jim and I talking now for a while.
So. All right, I'm going to go check over there. If there's not too much going on, I'll come back.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks a lot, Alan.
All right.
Thanks, Alan.
Uh-huh. Bye.
And that's Alan
Ross. Go Irish.
That's Alan Ross and giving us a long time together, and we appreciate it. We'll be back on Sports Radio 960 WSBT. We're also streaming at WSBTradio.com and also through the WSBT radio app. And we're back on the Legacy Heating and Game Day show. And as you hear from that little bumper music I picked out.
I love your bumpers, by the way. I love what you pick.
Mama told us there would be days like this. Yeah. And that's what they were singing last week after that. It was just one of those things, which kind of – Well, go ahead. We've got a couple of
– Oh, yeah, yeah. A couple of billboards. Legacy Heating and Air Game Day brought to you by Legacy Heating and Air, of course, a Cook family business. Also by Centier Bank, Indiana's largest private family-owned bank, South Bend Orthopedics, team physicians for the University of Notre Dame since 1949, and the Food Bank of Northern Indiana. Hunger is a story we can end. Find out more at feedindiana.org.
So Mama told me there were days like this. You know, maybe if it was like your – you've won nine in a row and you just everything wasn't going right for you or
just
raining,
one of those
whatever.
Days, yeah.
But when
yeah.
you're going two games in a row like that, that's not really appropriate. But I couldn't find any other song that wasn't even was
sure.
more negative.
right.
So tell us. So you do the official post game show with Reggie Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go back and first talk about after Ohio State, where the your conversation. What was Reggie? What was Reggie's thing? He understood we were playing a top team and we should have won it, but at least we competed.
There was definitely some of that, definitely a little bit of that because I mean it is Ohio State. They are them and Alabama are 1A and 1B as far as the national championship race goes. Maybe Georgia 1C thrown in there too, but there's plenty of that. But he also thought that the offensive line could have done a lot better. Because, I mean, if you remember the running game, Reggie being a running back, he's definitely paying attention to the running game. They only had like 76 yards rushing through the whole game on 30 carries.
Right.
Buckner was the leading rusher. Mm-hmm. He was again last week, too. We both kind of came to the conclusion that the quarterback can't be the leading rusher.
That's right.
He can't be the guy.
What happens in the next
exactly,
game
exactly, exactly. Right. If the quarterback is your leading rusher, he's – eventually, he's going to get hurt,
mm-hmm.
and look at where we are now.
Right.
So.
Well, I think too, all of us, and I'm not a football expert by any stretch of imagination, but all were impressed about Harry Hiestand when he was here the first time.
Yeah.
And then he goes to the Bears. We won't count that against him. And then then comes back.
So Colts fan.
we were all buying in that this offensive line was going to be top notch again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe not the first game or second game, but not only 76 yards rushing kind of.
Right. I mean, they're doing well as far as pass protection goes, but at the same time, you got to look at Tyler Buckner as being, he's a mobile quarterback. He can get out of those situations, and he had been.
Mm-hmm.
So the sack totals, can probably be a little bit deceiving as far as that goes. But, I mean, it's – like, you got to get that rushing attack going, too, because then it just opens everything up.
Well, and what happened at Marshall, they were putting 7, 8, 9 guys online challenging us to try to throw and everything stuff, too. So go to this post-game show afterwards last week after Marshall. Reggie's a little more animated. And maybe that's a kind expression of what he was.
Well, I get down there, all right? First of all, where we do, I'm up in the press box during the game.
Mm-hmm.
About halfway through the fourth quarter, there's a room that we go to do the post game show. It's not connected to the press box or
it's
anything.
It's a windowless room.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's actually a TV production room because there's big screens and TV editing software everywhere. So that's where we do the post game show. So I'm on the I'm getting ready to go on the elevator, and I hear a big roar come up from the crowd. Notre Dame's still leading, by the way, at this time. It's 15-12. Notre Dame's still leading. Hear a big roar. I figure, okay, something just happened. But, of course, being in an elevator.
You couldn't tell what kind of roar it was, a good roar or a bad roar.
Right. We, couldn't, especially, Marshall's fans were right next to the press box, too.
Right.
So, I mean, you heard them, just as loud as you heard all the Notre Dame fans, just because of where they were.
Mm-hmm.
So, I hear this big roar. I don't know what it's for. I'm literally stepping on the elevator, door shut. Still 15-12 in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Elevator goes down. It takes forever. I walk literally out the stadium. It's like a 5-minute walk to where I need to go. Walk out the stadium, head into to Fighting Irish Media where we do the post-game show, and they have a huge wall-sized TV.
Uh-oh.
Like, just right inside the door. Uh-huh. Like, the whole wall is a big screen TV. It's really, really kind of knocks your, takes your breath away.
Yeah.
And I look at the score, 26-15. How did this happen? It took 5 minutes.
And is there anybody else down there when you got there?
They were also a little bit.
Befuddled.
Yeah, just like.
But nobody was explaining to you exactly what had happened.
No. No. I, of course, we've got this equipment here, similar equipment, so I'm able to listen to the rest of the game.
Oh, jeez.
And, of course, Ryan Harris is beside himself.
Yeah.
Burmeister's beside himself. So I was able to pretty well deduce that.
Yeah,
that 5 minutes, that was the make or break point.
Oh, Ryan Harris, he gets emotional.
Oh, yeah.
When we score and stuff. I can only imagine as an offensive lineman too, looking out there and seeing what's going on.
Yeah.
Wow. So Reggie shows up.
So Reggie's there. He's not happy. Reggie,
that is so nice of you to put in those words.
He's definitely not happy. He's not happy with the offensive line still. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, not happy with the way the running game, you know, has pretty much failed to produce. Well, it's like a little better, but not much.
No. Right.
So, you know, and then of course we're also dealing with, you know, trying to get news about Tyler's injury too. Mm-hmm. So there was a ton of stuff coming at me the whole time. So.
Well, you know, you're kind of lucky because you weren't around here, but years ago the post game show used to take questions too.
Oh yeah.
And
oh god, I can only imagine what it would have been.
They'd be on there 3-4 hours. I remember, especially the night games, they'd go off at 1:30 in the morning, and mm-hmm. I mean people like this. Oh, they mm-hmm. would have been all over the you guys. Well,
I'm glad I don't have to deal with that, just because you know, like. Any sort of delay button would be broken.
Oh, just absolutely.
Broken.
Actually, about most of it's like, blah, 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 blah.
Exactly, yeah. It's just a bunch of mute, you know, every so often, you know, almost kind of like Morse code. So.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, we can hope that there's going to be progress today. I think there will be, but, boy, you're asking an awful lot of a brand-new quarterback to come in, too, and fortunately, we don't have a lot of other injuries, but to have this first game being his.
That is a doozy of an injury.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, that's
0-3 for the first time if we end up that. Well, let's say we won't end up that since 2007, Charlie Weiss years. We got a first-time starting quarterback today.
I would knock on wood if there were some here at Eddie Street.
and other than punting average,
yeah,
we are in the bottom, way bottom,
yeah,
almost like in the hundreds out of 126 teams in almost every other category.
Yeah.
I don't remember when that's happened.
Meantime, you know, John Sott for Heisman.
What's that?
John Sott for Heisman.
Oh.
Let's just get that going right now,
the way
his season's going.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's really the only one, you know, having a consistently good year.
Oh, I know.
So.
I know. Well, let's take a short break, and we'll come back and chat some more. We'll be right back on Sports Radio 960 WSBT, your home for the Fighting Irish. Reeling in the years. That song came out in 1972. That was the year that Game Day had its first show in September of 1972. 50 years anniversary for the show, and also WSBT is celebrating its 100th year radio station. My God.
Right.
I'm glad we're young guys.
Right. Man. You start putting all those numbers in front of everything, it's just like, oh, wow, time really is going by, isn't it?
Unfortunately, I graduated high school at that same time, so I used to listen to Bob Lux. I was one of those guys, I don't know, I wasn't listening to music shows. I was listening to talk radio and Bob Lux and sports, and I guess he played afternoon radio. They had radio show there, too, but it wasn't like contemporary radio.
Right.
So I'm an old guy, old fart and stuff, too. So, hey, what do you got for us?
Forecast today, mostly sunny, hot, and breezy, high of 86. And then tonight, partly cloudy and a low of 67. It's going to be pretty hot up until like middle of the week next week. So watch for that. Legacy Heating and Air Game Day brought to you by, of course, Legacy Heating and Air, a Cook family business. Sherwood Tire, your one stop for complete auto care at the corner of US 30 and Oak Road in Plymouth. Barnaby's of Mishawaka and Granger, serving Michiana's most favorite pizza since 1978. And Pet Refuge, urging you to adopt, don't shop, where new beginnings have happy endings. I've noticed a lot of dogs being walked.
Yes, really.
This is just so cool that we're out here.
We're out here
at Eddie Street Commons.
Eddie Street Commons. We're right across from Five Guys. If you're out and about, walking around a tailgate or heading to the game or something, you know, stop by, take a listen. Let's see, Five Guys, Chipotle, O'Rourke's, Brew Burger, a lot of great places to eat at.
And 7-Eleven.
And 7-Eleven, there you go. That's mine. That's where I get packaged sandwiches all the time. And then you can do some shopping at the Notre Dame Bookstore, Urban Outfitters. There's just a lot to do, and we see a lot of people. It is a green out day, correct?
Yeah, this is the green out day.
All my green out, my green shirts were all long sleeves, so I had to go with blue for today.
Yeah, that would have got a little balmy.
Hey, let me ask you that, too, because you're up in the press box. Why did not Notre Dame make it a blueout last week? Because our green shirts were mingled in with the
green, yeah.
So
yeah.
People were thinking, oh, my God, this is like the Nebraska game years ago where half the stadium was, but it really wasn't that way.
Right, it really wasn't. Like, all of the Marshall fans were basically up in the corner of the stadium, and then, you know, maybe like a couple interspersed here and there,
mm-hmm.
you know, as is the usual, really. But, all the Marshall fans were up there, but, man, they were certainly loud enough to make their presence felt.
They sounded like a thundering herd, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, sitting right next to the press box, too.
Right.
Like right next to the radio call's coming from.
So that's what you heard as you went into the elevator was that crowd yelling.
Yeah. Yeah, I figured that out after.
Afterwards, right. You wouldn't have thought that whatsoever. So remember, if you're out, stop by, say hi, across from the Five Guys restaurant. I might have to go get a burger and fries here later on. Anyway,
I am a little disappointed that the wind hasn't kicked some of the cooking smells.
You're right.
You know, some of the burger smells our way. So
we might not have finished the show then if that would have happened.
Yeah.
Though.
Then you know, as you're coming by, you know, you'll be able to see why I'm like close to 300 pounds. So
you wear your weight very good. You're nowhere near that. All right, we'll be right back to close the first hour of Legacy Heating and Air Game Day Show here on Sports. And we're back. The Legacy Heating and Air Game Day Show here on WSBT.
And it is brought to you by Tim Growl State Farm Insurance for amazingly great rates on auto, home, and life insurance. Call Tim at 574-232-9981. Michelob Ultra, locally distributed by a United Beverage Company. Michelob Ultra, the superior light beer with only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. That sounds really good right about now, actually. I don't know why. And also the Orthopedic and Sports Medicine Center, OSMC, providing orthopedic care to Michiana since 1973.
And once again, we're out here at Eddie Commons across from Five Guys. If you're out and about, stop in, come up to us, tell us hi. We appreciate your support and you listening. We'll be right back after a short break for the second hour of the Legacy Heating and Air Game Day Show. Joining us will be former Fighting Irish linebacker Tavon Coney. And three Notre Dame teammates from the year that the game day first aired, 1972. And that would be John Dampier, Frank Pomerico, and Gary Potempa. Plus, we'll give you our final thoughts on today's game and our predictions. We hope you'll stay right there on your home for Fighting Irish Football, Sports Radio 960 WSBT. Who are you? That's the theme that everybody's thinking about. Who is Notre Dame? We're going to find out with a big test today. It's been a long time for Irish fans to be 0-2, and the team doesn't want to be 0-3, just like we don't want them to be 0-3. So who are you? We're going to find out today what kind of team we really are, aren't we?
Again, I just want a fun post-game show. That's all I want, man.
There you go.
I just want a fun post-game show.
Welcome back to the second hour of the Legacy Heating Air Game Day Show. We are live in Eddy Street Commons right across from Five Guys. Come on out, take a walk.
Hello.
Wave it. All right.
Hello.
It's a beautiful day out, and you won't be sad if you come out in this area. Just walk around for a while, then go hit those tailgate parties and stuff too. So we're so glad you're back here. Jim and I are here. Matt Embry's producing back in the WSBT studios. Again, we're going to thank Brian Miller and Bob Henning for helping make this possible, and Tegan from Eddy Street Commons and Kite Realty. But remember, Notre Dame's football coverage does not end right after us. Will be Game Day Sports Beat, powered by Michelob Ultra, leading into the network pregame show and then kickoff just after 2:38 p.m. And your coverage is not over when the game ends. Our own Jim Ariseri and Reggie Brooks will be there for the review of the game, postgame, plus all the stats, all the interviews on the official Notre Dame postgame show, all on Sports Radio 960 WSBT through the WSBT Sports Radio app and streaming at WSBT.com. Are you ready to go?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. So I don't know if Tavon had a chance to hear Alan Rossum today, but you got a good act to follow, man. He got everybody fired up. So
oh, yeah, basically.
We got Tavon Coney here, linebacker, Notre Dame, recent linebacker from Notre Dame, so he can give us all the inside scoops. First of all, appreciate you coming by.
Oh, no problem, man. I'm excited to be here.
What's going on these days in your life?
Man, I'm doing so many great things. Right now, I'm back in West Palm. I'm rehabbing. I started a few business ventures, started to private equity company called Jan Capital. We've been growing now. Just started probably about 2 months ago.
Okay.
Quite a few businesses. So that's going really well and continue to grow my kids' foundation that I have called Tough Choices. My dear to heart project that I'm working on right now is my school. And so we're pushing to have it done
by December. Tell us about that.
So, yeah.
We've got a lot of listeners out here across the country listening.
Yeah, so it's called AAA. That means Athletic Academic Achievement. And we really want to push the kids to be their best and give them structure, give them guidance, give them a mentor that they need. And it's a big need down in my area in West Palm and Miami. And so for me to have this platform to be blessed to be in the NFL and do different things like that, I knew it was important for me to find a way to give back. I knew a school, having a place, a safe environment for kids to grow. It means a lot for me to leave a legacy for my family, to represent Notre Dame in a wonderful way. All the people that have supported me along the way. So for me to just accomplish that would be huge, and that's what I'm really pushing for.
Well, you should be proud of that, giving back to the community. What do you find out there in talking to students and every day? You know, is it it's just a tough road to hoe right now?
It's tough. You know, just trying to find that mentorship, trying to find someone that you can have, give you guidance, give you structure. And I think that's truly important that everyone needs. And so when you find somebody that you can believe in, that you can trust, you have to stick with them. And that's something that I want to kind of create around the world, especially in my area.
So tell people that are listening, how can they get more information on your school, your foundation?
We have my website, jancapitalinc.com. All they need to do is just email me there. My contact information and email is there, and I'll reach out. And then we're going to connect and just find different ways. Right now I'm back in West Palm, but I'll be traveling a lot. So, if you know, Notre Dame is everywhere. So I'll be in different cities throughout this fall. I'll be back here on campus a few times. So just reach out to me on LinkedIn, Facebook, and then I have my website, Jan Capital. And also I have my kids' foundation, Tough Choices, foundation.com. So a couple of different platforms they can reach out to me on, and doing great big things this year.
Keep me honest. When we end the interview, I want to hear those contact again for the listeners, okay?
Absolutely.
So let's go into it. First of all, I see you got a Holtz's Heroes shirt on. Were you just over with the Holtz's Heroes people?
Yes, I was over at the event. You know, all the great alumni over there, Luke's over there, so you know I had to go over there and be able to see all the guys. They had the cornhole yesterday, so it was pretty fun to have.
Were you participating in that?
I didn't. I was just a fan, so that yesterday was the day for me.
You told them you're rehabbing right now.
I said I'm rehabbing right now. I'm a prospect, but yeah, it was fun. It was competitive. You know, got to see some great faces, and this morning got to see some more people that just got in town, so it's great to be back on campus. You get to learn from the other greats who's done it before you. And that's super important for me to just know and have wisdom. I think it's every day is a learning process. Every day I learn something new along this journey of playing football and being a businessman now. So I think it's important that you get back on campus and, like I say, you find those mentors, those people that you can believe in that got your best interest. And guys like that that's in that foundation that comes and support it, you want to be around those type of people that have true, genuine support for you.
That's Tavon Coney. We're on the Legacy Heating Air Game Day show here on Sports Radio 960 WSBT. I was going to ask that. So the philosophy is always give us four, we'll give you 40. Well, we got a lot of guys are saying now it's give us 45, give us 55, 60. What did Allen say? Give us four, it's
give
a
us
lifetime.
Four, give us a lifetime.
We'll give us a lifetime stuff. How important is that for you to talk to people like that walk the walk and talk the talk? Maybe 25, 30, 40 years ago.
I mean, I remember being in high school and Coach Kelly coming down and telling me these things, 4 for 40. You know, you hear all those cliche marketing things that the different coaches tell you when they're recruiting you. But to be able to go through a process at school and feel it, but not only leave and that feel that same presence and that same love, even though you're not playing for Notre Dame football in the moment, I think that's important. And then the brothership of guys that have done it and only want to have your best interest, only want to tell you things and the mistake they've made to bring it for you. And I think that was very attractive for me as a high school kid and to just see it all live out and see the success that I'm having right now. I think every kid should have an opportunity to go to a school like this or somewhere where they have that support postgraduate and before.
So was Notre Dame always on your radar?
No, they came about junior year. At that time, I already had about 20 offers. I remember Tony.
So we're kind of late to the party.
You guys was. Tony Offer came down, and he's now at Ohio State forever now. And he was like, listen, you got to come to Notre Dame. And he said, just give us a chance. If you come see it and you don't like it, it'd be fair. And I come, and I say, I love this place. And from there, I remember getting back on the plane and – I know whoever flies here, they see the stadium sometimes when you leave them to come, depending on what area you're in. And so I remember seeing it, and I looked at the stadium, and I said, if I don't come back here, I'll be sad. But if I go to any other school that I visit, if I leave and never come back, I won't be sad. And once I had that feeling, I knew Notre Dame was the place for me.
I got to ask, what time of year did
you
come
that's
here?
The same question I was going to ask.
It was actually when they played Michigan, 2014, the blowout game.
Okay.
It was during that time.
Like around the fall or
around
so.
Fall,
okay.
Yeah,
all
around
right.
September.
Okay.
So wasn't cold yet.
So when did you have to buy your first winter coat?
So listen, I graduated early from high school, so I actually came in the spring. So my first day was like, I remember January 12th, and it was like -9 degrees.
Oh,
it was like
one of the that's a warm day.
It was one of the coldest like days in like history of South Bend.
Record breaking day.
No. I'm born and raised here 67 years. No. 22 below is our
And when I tell you that I got off the plane, I had this little thin Florida hoodie on. I said, I got a hoodie on. And I remember them saying, like, no, this not going to cut it. So
you're going through my notes. That's not anything anybody's told me when they recruited me, right?
What? I wasn't ready for the snow. I wasn't at all.
I feel as if nobody's told me about
this. Right.
This should have been in the brochure.
Absolutely.
Hey, who did you – do you remember what player was assigned to you to walk around campus, or maybe there was a couple players?
When I was an early enrollee, I was probably already here a month and a half, and Dexter Williams was still deciding right before signing day.
Okay.
And so I remember him coming up, and he's like, man, I don't know. I love the school. And I just sat him down and told him different things that I heard from different alumni and gave him a chance to kind of give my perspective of already being there for like a month now. And I say, I've had tons of support, tons of people walk up to me on campus knowing I'm new and just trying to figure out, hey, how you can get to class, what help you need. And I said, like, this is the best place in America as far as going to school. And he heard that, and he came, and he had success as well. And we're still brothers to this day. I remember that day that, you know, I gave him my honest opinion, and he made his decision, and it worked out well for him as well.
We're with Tavon Coney on the Legacy Heating Air Game Day show here on WSBT. The transition from high school to college, a lot of people say it's the biggest transition is you were a star in high school, but now you're on a team that's full of stars.
Right.
Is that how you would address that too?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a transition coming from high school to college. You know, guys are bigger. Guys, you know, obviously seniors, juniors, already been through that puberty level, obviously. So, you know, it's adjustment. I think for me, I was kind of pretty decent sized guy, and I had some pretty supportive guys. I had Jalen Smith, who were kind of pushing me to another level. And so for me, I think that supportive and that confidence that I was able to build early gave me a chance to believe that I belong here. And so I think that transition really is that confidence level and just being able to get in the weight room and put some size on.
As you can hear, the fans are in the area right. Singing right now too. You know,
you can tell we're getting close to the game.
That's
time.
Right. And I don't think they were probably drinking coffee still yet today or whatever. So what does any particular rivalry stand out for you that was more than any other one? I know around here locally it's Michigan for us.
Yep.
For longtime people it's Southern Cal or whatever. Then there's the traditional Navy and military team stuff. Well, how about for you?
I would say USC. USC was always that game that I felt like no matter whether we played them here, we played them there, it was like packed out, and both teams, like no matter your record that year, when you played each other, you were going to give your best. And so those are always fun games. I remember that funny highlight I had running down on kickoff and slamming the guy here at home versus USC, and that was like kind of like my like blow up moment, celebrity moment for me in college. So that was kind of funny. But I would say USC rivalry was that one game that we played them every year. They came hard no matter their record, and the same for us.
So how do you remember anybody that you were hit the hardest by from an opposing team in particular, or just a team in general, not a person? But no, you're laughing. I think you got a person picked out, maybe.
that I got hit the hardest by.
Yes.
I would say probably Zeke Elliott. My freshman year, I had to get subbed in. We were playing Ohio State in a bowl game. And I remember him come to A-Gap, and I held on. He went down. I had some other guys come to help. But
I held on.
I remember, like, I kind of, like, took the blow, and I was like, whew. Like, I remember getting up, and I was kind of dazed. And that was, like, my first time, like, you know, really kind of being dazed in football where I, like, really took the blow where I was like, if nobody helped me, he probably would have probably would have kept going. And I never had got ran over in my life before. So I was like, oh, man, I was close. And it was on national TV, so I was like, oh, this is not going to be good. So I'll never forget that moment. I had a headache for the rest of the night.
We like to ask people, Notre Dame former team members, how are you watching a game? Are you still in that groove that you're looking at the linebacker position and that's all you're seeing? You really can't look at the whole game? Or are you able – you have to back off and take in the whole game?
No, I'm able to take in the whole game. I used to play running back growing up, so I love watching offense. I'm really an offense type of guy. But defense, I'm like – I know how important it is, so I'm always on my defender guys. Like, listen, you always got to play your best. I kind of give slack to the offensive guys sometimes. Right. I'm not as hard on them. But, yeah, I watch the game on both sides. I know how important it is, and I love both sides of the ball. It's almost like that 50-50 that comes together. I'm excited for these guys today, man. That's all I can say as an alumni, as a guy who really loves football. I know what they're going through right now. I know what they're facing, and I know they're going to come out on top. And these are the moments that you decide to come here, and these type of brothers who are going to stick with you and going to push with you, not going to point fingers, but they're actually going to come closer. And I think that's what they're doing today, and we're going to see some great things out of these guys.
I think they want to shut guys like me up.
Yeah, Jim hosts the post game show, and it hasn't been so good.
It hasn't been fun. Reggie's been in a bad mood.
Oh man!
So where do you go watch the game? Are you on the field?
Yeah,
stands.
I usually go to the. I go on the field for pregame. I usually go upstairs sometimes and sit down. I try to walk through the crowd a little bit, meet some people. I used to have a lot of friends that used to come to the game, so I used to try to go around and see everybody. You know, the game spirit is so fun. I try not to sit in one spot just so I can get around and see a lot of different people. You know, I love being back on campus, just seeing all the people that support me and are passionate about me, like I said, that still even reach out to this day, even though I don't play in Notre Dame. And that just means so much to me. So anytime I get to come back to campus, I truly want to be around the fans. I want to be around the team, the coaches, and just show my support in any way, just to let them know that I really appreciate everybody.
It's like you're part of the family.
Right, exactly.
I don't know if you saw Alan Rossum over there, but he was on here earlier today too. He's taking himself away from the sidelines because he gets so worked up.
Yeah.
Emotion. And at home, when he's watching it, nobody can come in the room. I mean, that's just his. He says to this day, he'd probably run out in the field and grab the ball. So he's going up to the press box.
No, I know how he feels, man. It's that true love for the game, that true love for everybody that's a part of. And even if you haven't even met him yet, it's just that natural brotherhood because you know what they're going through. You know what it's like to wake up in the morning, have to go to class, have to go to practice, and it's standard that you have to live in and be. And I think that once you know guys that came through Notre Dame and had success, and it's just that brothership. And so, like I said, even if you haven't met them, you want the best for them. And that's something that's really, really attractive for me that I love about Notre Dame.
So let's have a little fun. Let's see how well you knew your team. So who was the best dresser on your team? And it could be you. And I say team. It's really teams. All the Notre Dame teams you were on.
That's a good thing. If it wasn't me, I'll say Dexter.
If it wasn't me, I'll that say doesn't surprise me either.
He always surprised me. Now it's his hair. His hair is the trick now, but he always had cool, different outfits.
Well, you got nice bling on, and I think when we interviewed him, he had nice bling on, too. Let's see. Best singer.
Best singer.
Can you carry a tune? She's saying yes.
Well, I used to play the trumpet, but I don't know
you
if
did.
I can sing.
All
yeah,
right.
I used to play the trumpet growing up. Yeah,
I started off on trumpet,
actually,
too.
Yeah, and I know the people that do the trumpets at there. I'll call them, and you can play with the trumpets at Notre Dame.
I had a class in the band, and I used to play the trumpet for a while, yeah.
Little side thing there. I think the band is so underrated. They work as hard as you guys do.
Oh, no,
right?
I tell people all the time, in middle school, we used to spend hours out there practicing. So I can't even imagine at the college level like how much work they put in. So I tell people all the time, like, band is not something that, like, it takes a lot of work. I remember doing it from elementary school all the way to high school a little bit, and it was
I used to live by the campus, and they would be early in morning, they'd be late at night.
Yes.
No rest. All right, let's see here. Best comedian.
I would say Sean Crawford.
And why would – he was just on a couple of shows ago. And why would that be? Give him something when I have him back on I can hit him with.
For me, he'll always talk about my hair, but I don't know. He just like, always has, like, funny jokes, like, about anybody. Like, he's the person, like, the most funny that was on the team.
Was there any player on the team – I don't want to say. Trying to think of how to ask this without being crass about somebody. About somebody that superseded. They went farther in football than maybe they showed at the college level. They just hadn't really got to that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's no shame in that, man. Everybody had. I tell guys to this day, I say, man, never be discouraged about whether you play your freshman year or you play your sophomore or senior year. I mean, all you need is an opportunity. You need one game. You need a chance, a one play, you know, to go out there to show what you can do. And so, yeah, I remember, I would say Miles Boykin and Chase Claypool, two guys that I felt like really touched their surface late in the career here and having tons of success in NFL. But I always told guys, I seen it in them since day one, my freshman year, that those guys can do it. But for them, I think it took time for them to figure out their bodies, figure out exactly their capabilities. I remember one day in practice, Miles Boykin caught a catch in freshman year, and I was like, whoa. And no one really realized it until that game, LSU.
The bowl game. Yeah.
He caught a catch, one hand for us to win, and the rest
is
history.
You knew it the whole time.
But I knew it the whole time, so freshman year. And so,
you're like there
seeing,
it is.
Right,
there
so senior year, everybody was like bragging on, oh, Miles so good, Miles so good. I'm like, I've been remember freshman year, like him being freakishly athletic, but, you know, he didn't really tap into it yet. And so now that he's in the NFL, he's found his groove, man. Like, so I knew it. Even Chase Claypool as well, you know, he was a guy that played a lot of special teams, but he grew as a receiver and he learned it and worked hard. No doubt about it. Both of those guys worked hard. But like I say, it's a time when things click for you mentally. It's when you can put everything together. And when those guys did it, you seen it was no stopping them from there. And they have a ton of success now. So it all worked out for them.
That's Tavon Coney, Tim and Jim here on the Game Day Show. So you're the defensive coordinator. You're addressing your team for today, the Notre Dame team. What are you saying?
Go out there and play hard. Don't think too much. Let it go. I know the training and preparation is there. I know the coaching has done everything that he needed to do, all the film they needed to do. So today is the day you go out there and you just do it. It's not the day that we're uptight. It's not the day that we have any emotions. We're going to go out there. We're going to play hard. We're going to love the game. We're going to play together. And we'll see how it works out. And all the time that has happened for me personally playing, we came out with a W, especially on defense, because you have the control of the game. If you don't allow them to score, you're probably going to win the game. So for me as a D coordinator, I will always tell my guys, go out there and play hard. Just don't let up and play hard and watch it plays out in your favor. Whether it's going to be a one-point game or a 30-point game, if you play hard for four quarters, it's going to work out in your favor for the defense.
Well said, well said. Now tell us again, everybody again, how they can get hold of information about your school and your foundation.
Okay, so jancapitalinc.com is the way to reach out through email. Toughchoicesfoundation.com is another way. My LinkedIn is Tavon Coney. My Facebook as well is Tavon Coney. So just inbox me or reach out through email, and I would love to chat. Even mentorship for any younger teens out there who, you know, have any questions. So I love to be involved with the Notre Dame Network, Notre Dame fans, everybody. You know, it's really a special moment. I've had tons of success, you know, here, and I want to be able to give back and be able to support others as well. So,
all right, folks, go ahead and look them up. And you can't see the sincerity I see in his face right now, but it's all there. So sign up. You need something, go right to Tavon Coney. And we appreciate you taking the time today.
Yeah.
Thank you. I know
no
you got
problem.
A busy day.
No problem.
And we'll see you next time.
Yes, sir. As always, when I'm in town, I'll be here.
Thank you. And we're going to be back on game day with three teammates from the 1972 team, the year game day aired its first show in September of 1972. John Dampier, Frank Pomerico, and Gary Potempa, all here on the Legacy Here Game Day Show on your home for Fighting Irish football. And we're back here. A little bit of Secret Agent Man, I think that might be. Little guitar music or whatever. And we're back here at the Eddie Street Commons. And across from the Five Guys. Beautiful day. The sun's coming out more. But when we first got here, that sun coming out that window.
Blasted.
It was just blasting in here.
Reflection just coming right in my eye.
But it looks a great day for folks being out there. Some people have come by singing. Some people come by and waved hi. We appreciate it. We appreciate the fact that Eddie Street Commons and Kite Realty has made this possible. First time in 3 years we've been back outside due to COVID and the long COVID, whatever. What else can I say about it, right?
That's
it had its lingering effect.
Yeah, that was pretty much it.
So we're glad to be here. I'm Tim. This is Jim. What do you got for us, Jim?
Legacy Heating and Air Game Day brought to you, of course, by Legacy Heating and Air, a Cook family business. Also by Imperial Furniture in Dowagiac, where furniture shopping is fun. Lozier, launch your career at Lozier. Apply today at life@lozier.com. Pella Windows, replacing your windows or doors can be intimidating, but Pella makes it easy. And also by Hotel Elkhart. Welcome to an Elkhart original with hospitality reimagined, your home for game day weekends.
And the weather? What do you think?
Mostly sunny today, hot, breezy, 86 for a high.
Oh, it's going to make those liquid libations going down. Of course, I mean like Coke and Pepsi and stuff like
that. Of course. I'll be enjoying water all through the game. Actually, yep. I will be.
There you go. Hopefully, it'll be a better outcome for you.
Right,
your
right.
Post-game show. So, 1972, September 1972, game day first aired, if you can believe that. Bob Lux, who hosted the show for 30 years, and I'm glad to say is a great friend of mine or whatever, and can't believe it's been 50 years down there. Station's already is also 100 years old, so got a lot of things going on here. But, you know, I always like to tie things in, so I wanted to bring three players on from the 1972 team, and that would be John Dampier, Frank Pomerico, and Gary Potempa that are joining us here right now. Thanks, guys, for coming.
There we go.
Let's turn up a little bit. And we're going to pass the microphone back and forth, Gary. We're a little short of microphone
one,
today.
One headset short.
Let's start with John. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Health's good?
Everything's good, yeah.
John and I have known each other for a long time. You look great. All you guys look like you're fantastic. So what's the key, John? Do you guys pass something around, or was that
not? A lot of it is, most of it is genetics. You have to be lucky in this game. So
I'm going to start something different rather than talking about playing right now. I want to get your guys' opinion on a few different things that are currently going on right now. So name, image, and likeness. John, your first thought on that with the players now getting money.
Well, I was trying to figure out what is the biggest change since we played, and we played in, you know, 50 years ago, and I think the biggest thing is the money in the game. I love football, but I didn't go into football because there was no money in it. A coach had to get a second job to support his family, and that's obviously changed. Did you see the contract that Quentin Nelson signed?
Yes.
$20 million a year.
Got to hold that microphone up to us.
And so that was, I think that's one of the big differences. And I'm not sure that Notre Dame is made a decision on how they want to try to compete in name, image, and likeness. And I think they have to. So.
Gary, what's your thoughts?
I think, you know, when we were playing, the one thing I do remember is they did get us summer jobs. You know, so you actually had to have a job. I was in Chicago and I got a job. As a garbage man, and which was a great job because I'm lifting garbage every day.
There you go.
I told everybody
free
on
workout.
The truck, I'll do it all because I got to get ready for football. So for 2 years I worked in a garbage truck. 2 years I worked in a freezer, which was a Jewel ice cream place.
Okay.
And we were 20 below, and they gave you jobs that were legit jobs, but you were able to make a decent amount of money, and otherwise. Be honest with you, when you're here at football, you're tied up so much time-wise, academically, and meetings, and film, and what have you. You just don't have the time. There's no way you could have a job, and it is a job, football.
Right.
And it's even more of a full-time now than it's ever been, I think.
Frank?
You know, to me, I think it's killing a little bit of the amateur sport, what we had back 50 years ago. I mean, it was something that was... I think an era made it a more pure thing for us. You know, we really enjoyed the fact that we were together as a team. I think we enjoyed and grew into the discipline that he was giving us, and we were proud of that. And he was really loyal to all the kids. The idea of getting paid, I think it really changes the value of what education should be all about. And the education is a valuable thing. I mean, this is the thing that's going to take you on for the rest of your life. And I think that's one of Marcus Freeman's biggest selling points, is that you're going to have something very valuable that you can take away with you when football's over, which is great. But if another school is saying, hey, we'll give you $500,000 if you come to our school,
right.
all of a sudden the kid is saying, well, you know, I can build a house for my folks.
Mm-hmm.
I can
start
my life in a positive instead of having to scratch and build. So I think it really changes the whole value of college football.
Frank Pomerico, great transition to the next thing, talking about team loyalty, coaches' loyalty, the transfer portal nowadays. It's almost like if a coach looks at you wrong, I'm going somewhere else to another team. What's your feeling on that?
You know, I think it eliminates the fellas building themselves and working hard. The other problem is that if you're an athlete that comes in as a freshman and you start building and learning and experiencing and getting better each year, the problem is all of a sudden your turn is next when you're a senior. And somebody comes in from another school, mm-hmm. all of a sudden you're a second team again.
Right.
And to me, that cheapens the whole work ethic that a fella might have. Now, does it make the team better? Well, I think initially it does, but I think the fabric of the program gets hit a little bit.
Right.
And the identity of that program is somehow cheapened. So, I mean, that's just my view.
Gary Potempa, transfer portal?
You know, I was at the Coach Freeman invited all his players back in, for the spring game weekend, and we had an evening with the players.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting with one of the guys, and I said, what do you think of the portal? And he goes, oh, it ain't bad. I said, what do you think of the portal if they're going to bring a guy for your spot? And he goes, oh, that's different. And I'm like, be honest with you guys, when I was a senior, it was going to be my first full-time starting, you know. And I went into George Kelly and said, before I left for the summer, I said, you bring in a player to take my spot, I'll kick their and that's when I left it. I walked
the
out.
Challenge was on, right?
Yes.
That's
so
right.
So I think it's, like Frank said, actually John was involved in being a fifth-year guy, and it was one of the first guys, but it was cool to have his leadership,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's different. You put your time in and you got another year, and we had his leadership, you know. So it's, so to me, bringing in a guy cold, we don't know the guy, another school, it like Frank said, it undermines your team. Your team chemistry, man, I'm telling you, is a whole freaking thing.
Right.
If you don't have team chemistry, you could have all the Russ Browners in the world, and you ain't going to have much of a team. But when people start pulling together and you have that loyalty, mm-hmm. that's team. So.
Excellent point. John Dampier.
Well, it was a everything has changed. When I first came here, freshmen couldn't play. You know, we tried to get involved in the university. And I remember it's a big transition, and I was having trouble. And Mike Oriad said, he was the captain of the 68 team, and he said, you haven't figured out yet that you're putting 40 hours a week in football. I mean, so you've got football and you've got your academics, and that's all you have, and you've got to do that. And then, so, but now, when we were there, is when they first started letting freshmen in, and that changed the chemistry a little bit. And Notre Dame, it helped us because we got some awfully, awfully good players, but it does change the chemistry. And Frank's exactly right. You know, being part of the program for the full time is a really important thing.
This is the Legacy Heating and Air Game Day Show. We're with Notre Dame players from the year Game Day started, 1972. That would be John Dampier, Frank Pomerico, and Gary Potempa. Let's start, Frank. What's the biggest difference you think from playing football in 72? This is too broad of a question probably, but you're very eloquent. Between 1972 playing your position and today playing that position. Is it size? Is it speed? Is it competition?
I think the most important thing is the size change. About 4 years ago, I got a chance to meet Quentin Nelson. And I said, you know, I played guard here too. He said, really, you did? I said,
thanks, Quentin.
I said, yeah. I used to be 6'5", but they pounded me down to 6 foot. And I said, I did, and I played left guard just like you.
Mm-hmm.
He says, really? I said, yeah. And I said, I wore number 56 just like you do. I said, but the only difference is that the 5 and a 6 is spread a lot differently.
There's a lot more stretch.
But he may be the best guard on the planet.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
He is unbelievable.
He pushes them through walls.
Yeah. A very nice person. Very warm and engaging.
When it's game time.
You don't want to be playing next to him or in front of him because he goes at you with a defensive mentality. He wants to gobble you up. And I think that could be similar as far as how guys played, you know, 50 years ago.
but I think the size, and I don't know how much the speed is it different as far as the linemen are concerned, but the size is a huge difference.
John, I would totally agree with that across the board. I think it is the size. I mean, the current players, when we tell them that we were offensive linemen, they just giggle.
John, what were you at All-American? What did you weigh?
I weighed 245. Frank weighed probably 243.
Yeah. Now you got quarterbacks that'll weigh that.
Yeah. No, that's exactly right. And so when I finished two-a-days freshman year, I'm a guard over a two-time All-American defensive tackle. Now, he could still play to this day. That was Mike McCoy. He was the second player taken in the draft.
Good guy.
Mike was 6'5", weighed 275 then, and was really, really quick. Mm-hmm. When I finished 2 days, I weighed 212. And I'm playing guard.
Yeah.
And so then I put on, I put on 10 pounds a year from the time I was a high school senior until I got out of Notre Dame. So I graduated from Notre Dame at 245. And, as you said,
The preferred, Gary Fatipa, you were
the preferred food for gaining weight. What was it?
Oh, you just had to eat constantly. When I
started, didn't matter what.
I started in high school, and I ate as much as I could, and then also took 2 400-calorie cans of Nutriment every single day.
Wow.
Just to add the extra 800 calories to try to put on weight.
Gary, you're a linebacker, correct?
Yeah.
So does speed enter into that now? The difference?
There's definitely a speed factor. But I coming out of high school, I was a running back / linebacker, and I was already 230, and I was benching about 365, and I got up to about 430. So we were ahead of the game on the lifting, Frank and I, because a lot of guys, our weight room, if anybody knew about it, in the ACC, was like a freaking closet.
There were three of us in the weight room, and it was the three of us. We could outwork people. Now they're forced.
Now you're forced. Yeah. But I came in as a running back at about 230, and I was as big as any NFL guy.
Wow.
But of course, as soon as they saw that, you won't believe it, they put me at guard. And I was like, I'm not a guard. I'm a friggin' high school halfback. I'm a wingback.
Have you seen these moves?
I catch passes. I remember pulling, and I hit Walt Patulski. And my high school coach taught us head and shoulder reverse block, which you never heard of. You hit the guy on the wrong side on purpose, and it tricks him because he fights that. Mm. And then he spins. And when he spins, you go on your – on your all fours and leg whip them. So I leg whip Walt.
Oh,
next
man.
Thing you know, there's 11 guys fighting me.
Oh, jeez.
And so, it's a lesson you learn when you come here. I think you come here as a player. You're not, you might think you're the best offensive tackle or what have you. And Casper's a good example. He started out a guard.
Right.
And in one season, he was a guard and a wideout. I'm like, I don't think I've ever heard of anyone that I'm aware of.
And then he played an entire season as the offensive left tackle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're talking about you got to be prepared to play and not be afraid to switch around. And it might hurt your ego and what have you, but, it's
– Era had a philosophy. Walt Patulski, who was the last player at Notre Dame who was the first player taken in the draft.
I remember.
Okay. He came in as a fullback. Era said to the defensive coaches – you can have any player that you want except the quarterback. He says, I get to pick the quarterbacks, but you can have anybody else. So Gary, goes from running back to linebacker. Walt goes to defensive end, Frank and I, we ended up on the offensive line and still had a good career. But it's an attitude. It's an attitude thing that has to happen.
Absolutely. Let's go to today's. If you were the offensive line coach, what are you telling the team today?
Well, I think you have to look at it, each individual play. One of the things that Ara always talked about is play the interval. And the interval is the snap of the ball to the whistle. If you can sustain your block and your effort for the interval, you're really only playing about 5 minutes a game.
Five.
Because the other part, you're going back to that huddle, coming off to the sidelines. So think about that. If you can give the effort for the interval and stay on your block, be as consistent as you possibly can. And one of Ara's other favorite saying was, we have no breaking point. No matter what the situation is, you haven't lost. Time may be running off the clock, but you haven't lost. So give it everything you have, every play. You never know when that's going to be the game breaker.
Follow up on that. So have you been watching the games?
Yes.
So are you seeing that they're not sustaining their blocks? Because that seems to be one of the complaints.
You know, I think that they need to, and this is my own opinion. Again, I come from a running background as far as offense is concerned. Mm-hmm. I think once you establish a good running game, you're able to control the clock. You're also able to control the tempo of the game. And with that, opens up the passing. Mm-hmm. You have play action and even drop back, screens, all the things that you need to do in order to keep the defense honest.
John Dampier.
I couldn't agree with Frank more. I think the game has always been that way where, I mean, certainly the game's changed and there are these wide open passing attacks and RPOs, but the solid teams, you know, look at a lot of them, you have to be able to run the ball to keep them honest. Our team in 1970, and again, I didn't care about what happened in 1920, so these kids don't care about what we think. We had a remarkable statistic. We gained 252 yards rushing and 258 yard passing. We had averaged 510 yards, completely balanced. They had no idea what it's going to do. If you're averaging 4 or 5 yards a play, you're going to make first downs.
Absolutely.
That would definitely still that offense.
Yeah, what do we have? 76 yards the first game and 114 maybe the second?
Yes. If you're picking up that kind of yard.
We averaged 252.
Yeah. How about defense? If you were a defensive coach out there, what are you going to tell your linebacker stuff today?
You know, I'm old school, and I'm like, I just, in my opinion, like, it's 1 yard counts. 1 yard counts. You got to win the, you know, air would go. It's third. What's the most important down football? Third and short, third and long. Know you're down the distance. Know where you are in the field. And I think that's huge because, you know, we all talk three and out, three and out, three and out, you know. I mean, you got to buckle down. You got to stop that. And I'm telling you, if you got a running back and we got him by the ankle, somebody better knock him back because we don't want to give up that 1 or 2 yards is going to be the entire game. And you don't realize how important that is. Every single yard. I just draw a line in sand and go, that's my line. And I'm going to defend that thing. You know?
And I want to add to that a little bit because this is why it's such an important team game. They knew that they were going to stop them. And on third down, we're getting the ball back. On the offensive side, we knew no matter whether it was third and one or third and 12, we're converting. We knew we were going to make a first down.
Positive mindset.
It's just, you know, you have to win that battle.
Frank, final thought. Time goes fast, 20 minutes. Any final thoughts?
Say it again.
Yeah, final thoughts. 20 minutes goes fast.
You know, one of the things that's so interesting, when we were in school, we got to meet a couple of guys that played for Rockne.
Okay.
Okay, and you're looking at them and you're saying, boy, these guys are old. Well, we're older than those guys now.
Exactly.
So we're appreciating not just the football season. We're appreciating every game we see. You know, guys we played with, some of them are getting real sick, some of them are passing. So as you get to a certain age, you start appreciating every season that comes by. So it's kind of fun, and I'm enjoying this season. And I think the Irish are going to come back. I think they're going to have a good winning season and go to a bowl game. Maybe not the Final Four, but I think they're going to go to a bowl game. And it'll be fun to set your schedule of the holiday season
around
a Notre Dame bowl game.
That's right. John, final thoughts. John Dampier. Well,
Frank's more of an optimist than I am. And I want to see us win those first battles right now. I want to do exactly what Gary said. Win your battle, and that's what I need to see. That's what I need to see first. My wife said, don't get so upset. You didn't get a penalty, and you didn't miss a block, you know. But it's hard for me not to be engaged.
Gary Potempa, final thoughts.
You know, I really like Coach Freeman. I met him at the Notre Dame Rockne dinner in Chicago when he was an assistant, and he was such a nice guy. And I did say, you got six kids. I said, you beat me. I got only five. So I said, and I can't believe it. You're as crazy as I am. You know, I mean, I have that many children. And I said, I was very impressed by that. And then when he became head coach, I said things are going to be a little different now. And he goes, no, I know. And I said, being such a nice guy, you're such a great guy. And I said, I don't know if that can continue. And he goes, well, we'll see after a few games. So I think he's got the point. he welcomed us all back to that spring game, and that's never been done, to have 300 of us come back. Yeah. And I'm telling you, it means a ton to us, and I hope it means a ton to Notre Dame football.
I've heard that from a lot of players, that he's really engaged with former football player alumni, and it means a lot. It's lots to him and everything. Well, we appreciate you guys. Like I said, it goes too fast. We could talk for a half hour. Frank Pomerico, Gary Potempa, John Dampier, we thank you. And for today, go Irish.
Go Irish.
We'll be back on the Legacy Heating Air Game Day Show on Sports Radio 960 WSBT, streaming at WSBTradio.com and through the WSBT Radio app. All right. Another good bumper tune I picked out. What are we waiting for? What's the Fighting Irish waiting for,
right?
Jim?
They just got to do it. Just go out and do it. And it's very Nike, I know, but just go out and do it.
It's the guys that were just on had it just right. You know, it's all about – what's going on?
So here's what I want to make a point.
Okay.
What's happening with the portal and the NIL is what happened to the Olympics. The Russians sent the hockey team over. They were military. They were professionals. They called them amateurs. You remember?
I remember.
We turned the corner, and all of a sudden we got the dream team in basketball, don't we?
You got it.
And they're pros.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Did it destroy the Olympics?
Yep,
it
did.
Watched the
How
Olympics?
About you were the manager on the 63 team with Daryl LaMonica, correct?
I was in his wedding.
All right.
Wow.
Oh, good. We got to go to a spot here.
Yeah.
So we're here at the Eddie Commons, Five Guys. Right across from there. It's a beautiful day. Wave to us over there. Everybody's walking by. There's a few waves and everything. Hey, we'll be right back on the Legacy Heating Air Game Day Show, live from Eddie Commons, right across from Five Guys. And we're back. The Legacy Heating Air Game Day Show, live from Eddie Street Commons, right across from Five Guys. It's great to be out after three long years from my office at home or at my office at my State Farm agency and stuff, too. So, Jim, talking to all these different guests from different eras, the same theme comes through, what Notre Dame means to them.
Yeah.
And kind of all the same theme comes through on what they think has to happen tonight, right?
Yes, absolutely. You know, yeah, the prevailing theme is, you know, they're learning it right. Mm-hmm. They're getting it right in practice. They got to do it on the field.
Absolutely. So. One play at a time.
Yep.
Like Frank Pomerico was just talking about, sustaining that block, because, you know, the things that I keep hearing from a lot of the sports people is sustaining blocks, receivers getting separation.
Yeah.
Tackling.
Yeah, tackling could be better.
And establishing that running game.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Reggie Brooks, he's going to critique that again tonight.
Oh, yeah.
And hopefully it's going to be good critique.
Yeah, they got to get Tyree more into the.
Absolutely. Like six touches a game right now. He had more when he was part time.
I don't even think that many.
That
may be rushing and catching, but mm-hmm. I mean that, you know.
Right.
Like he had three rushes last week.
Yeah, and he had three touches on passes, which weren't even very put him in the slot.
Yeah.
Let's do some rocket throws. Yeah, I'm gonna make it real easy. Across the middle throws, right. Some real quick throws. I think, you know, Pine's got a decent arm for down the field.
Yeah.
But I think what he's the short yardage plays. He's quick. He's not fast. He's not a runner like Buckner is, but he can extend some plays.
Yeah. Yeah. He's I've heard a lot that a lot of former NFL players think that Dan Marino was like one of the best mobile quarterbacks. It wasn't because he was fast. It was because he had the quick enough feet to be able to just get out of trouble
and have that sixth sense where to move to the left, to the right, step up in
exactly.
the pocket. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll find out, you know, later today what's going to happen. It's going to be a beautiful day. What'd you say, about 83, 84? Is it going to get hotter than
86.
That? 86. Humidity's going to pump up. There's a nice breeze out today, a little overcast right now. Remember, if you're driving in, there's a lot of road construction. I went down the new and improved Douglas Road last night. Man, it's going to be four lanes all the way. It's only four lanes up to Ironwood, but it's going to be four lanes after that. But remember that in your traffic. Also, when you're partying today and everything, please drink responsibly. Have a good time, but drink responsibly. Thank you for listening. Jim and I want to thank Matt Embry back in the studio for producing. Bob Henning is our engineer, and Brian Miller is the – he gets tired of my emails and my texts all the time. Thanks, Brian. A big thank you to all of our guests for taking time. They have busy weekends, and for them to stop by here and talk to us, that means a lot to us. And, of course, we thank you for always listening. Don't go anywhere as Notre Dame's WSBT game day coverage continues right after the break. It's the details and the X's and the O's with today's matchup on Game Day Sports Beat, powered by Michelob Ultra. Immediately following Sports Beat, it's the Notre Dame Network pregame show. Then it's kickoff just after 2:30 p.m. And after the game, make sure you join Jim and Reggie Brooks for the official Notre Dame postgame show. Please join us next week for a late morning show at 10 a.m. as your Irish are on the road to face the dangerous North Carolina Tar Heels. For Jim, this is Tim. We hope you enjoy a great weekend with an Irish win. Thank you for listening to the Legacy Heating Air Game Day Show on your home for Fighting Irish Football, 960 a.m., WSBT. Go Irish!
This has been Legacy Heating and Air Game Day, only on the home of Notre Dame football. Sports Radio 960 WSBT and WSBTRadio.com.
Brought to you by the Food Bank of Northern Indiana, Sherwood Tire, Barnabys of Mishawaka and Granger, Pet Refuge, Centier Bank, Tim Growl State Farm Insurance, Michelob Ultra, OSMC, Imperial Furniture, Lozier, Pella Windows, and Hotel Elkhart.